All right, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but we're also going to do a little bit of jumping around prior to, if that's okay with everyone. We'll get this set up. I don't think that... I hope it's not interpreted that I'm utilizing a time. You know, we go through the Word verse by verse and book by book and chapter by chapter and start to finish, trying to get the whole counsel of God out to each and every one of us. And with everything that's going on in the world around us, you can utilize God's Word in a way that you can read into it or try to make it say something that it really isn't. There's a interpretations called exegetical and eisegetical. One is exactly what the context is talking about. The other one is kind of reading into it a little bit. And I certainly don't want to have it seem as if I'm reading in to some last day scenario. I think it's evidently clear if we read the Word that these are the last days. I mean, we know that that time started with Jesus Christ and his ministry. We know it's going to end when he takes his church out of this world and deals with the nation Israel and the unbelieving nations. So what we see here today is something I hope sparks all of our interest. And I feel it's something that's been left out of a lot of sermons lately in majority of churches is prophecy. We don't want to hear that the end might be coming real soon. We're comfortable with 100 years from now, aren't we? Because not one of us would be around. Or not in my lifetime, whatever that might be. But I think it's a time that each and every one of us needs to, on their own time, timing, and personal study habits, start looking into what it is that Jesus Christ has said and has promised will come upon his children. I think it's critical. Our eschatology, I've said this a number of times, the belief in last day events, our eschatology should control, in a way, if we can use that word, or move and motivate our present character, conduct, belief patterns, how we associate with others and ourselves, depending on how we really feel about what the Lord says. So if you're in 2 Timothy, we left off in chapter 3 and we had a study on two words, basically, last days and perilous times. And I hope some of us might have taken the time to look at those, but not get trapped in the thought, oh, perilous times, oh, it's all going to be over. You know, this isn't doom and gloom. The one who loves you more than you love yourself has made a promise that I'm going to come back for you. That's not doom and gloom. That's glory, isn't it? Amen. That's glory. That my Lord, my Savior, your Savior, thinks enough about me personally that he is going to get me through and take me from. Two different words in the Greek, ek and dia. He'll bring us through some things. We had to go through D. You had to go through what you did. You've got to go through what you're looking at. But God also says, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to bring you from that. Important words. And unless we really hear what the Lord is saying, it's so easy to be deceived. So today we want to go beyond those perilous times, and they are going to be. For those of us maybe who don't know Jesus Christ, you know, every church isn't filled with people that have a relationship with Jesus. Do we really? It's a question that we have to answer. There's other people out there in our family, our workplaces, that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have not submitted to that authority. We'll submit to every other type of authority possible. But we haven't submitted ourselves to Jesus Christ, who says, unless I live in you, you're going to die. But once we place Jesus Christ into our hearts, there's life eternal. My goodness, that's something special. So anyhow, I want to get rolling. And what we looked at last week was, again, last times. Are these really those days that the Bible speaks about? Well, I can honestly say that I'm not sure. But every sign that we have today is beyond what we had from the time we started to believe. It's beyond the time of my grandmother who, you know, had faith in your grandmother. It's beyond the people who Paul was writing to in Ephesus and all. We're in a time frame like never was before. So I think it would do us well to take these words and really start to fit them in to our lives and see where they fit within the world scenario. Perilous times, remember that last week? In verse 1, we are in perilous times. We're going to look at that again in a while. A godless world we looked at from verses 2 to 4. I hope, and if anybody says, Doug, you're exaggerating. Do you feel that there's really a godless world out there? Oh, there's a form, as we're going to see. But it's a godless world. It used to be a time when I can remember my growing up, 71 years. That's all I got, but during my father and mother's time and your parents, it was something that was at least respected. Oh, don't curse them. You know, they're religious people. It means nothing today. It means absolutely nothing. So a godless world, and it's becoming more and more godless as we go along. And powerless faith, verses 5-7. What has happened to the power of the Holy Spirit in the church today at large, not just in America, but what happened to the power of God? I'm not talking about just, you know, going out and say, you know, mountain, go away. Let's be serious. But the power that the Holy Spirit has given us, I'm seeing less and less of it in the churches that I deal with and even in my own life at times. So I want to get back to that because I feel there is something coming and I wonder if I'm ready for it or as ready as I can be. So in honor to Howard, who used to title sermons, I've said that before, I haven't titled one in a while. I want to title today, The Coming Apostasy. The Coming Apostasy. Take it. Think about it, check it out in the Word, see if it's real. But let's turn to 2 Thessalonians first, place something in there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is this really it? Is this gonna be it? Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? Is it, you know, I mean, there's just so many questions that we don't have an answer to, but the Lord has given us an answer as we watch the sign of the times and as we go about our daily lives. And I feel if you're there, listen to what the Spirit says. Not so much Doug or the talking heads on the Babylonian idiot box. That's a big screen TV now. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Whole sermon in that because everybody said, boy, the rapture thing and, you know, Lord, that's something new, just started in the 1800s with the dark. No, it didn't. The early Christians believed in an imminent return of Christ within their lifetime. Didn't say, now we beseech you, brethren, by the 1,000 year, 2,000. He said, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, the coming apostasy. That word can be taken in a lot of different ways. But this day that we're asking, is the Lord on his way? Are we really in the last days? The day that we're looking for the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord, which is going to be in two events, the parousia, two events, the rapture and the second coming of the Lord, which every eye will see him. Don't let anyone deceive you. There'll come first a falling away. Apostasia, whether it's a violent snatching or it's just kind of walking away from everything that we have believed in the last 40 years for me. I don't know how many for you. You ever notice how some of the beliefs that were in our heart so locked in the first 2-3 years of our life, I'm not saying they're gone, but they've kind of fallen away a little bit, haven't they? And there are going to be people who walk away from this faith that their lives were dependent upon it at one time. Not anybody who's missing. Don't read into what I'm saying, please. If you're watching, you know, on whatever this is, put your hands on the radio. Remember that way back? Van knows about that stuff. Diane knows about that stuff. I'm talking about Christianity, Christians. The Lord himself said, will I find faith when I return? There's going to be a falling away, not just what we see in the little bits here of, you know, coming or going. People are going to walk away from this faith. I pray to God that it's none of us, that it's no one that's within earshot or reading this word. There's going to come a falling away first, and the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. We don't have to worry about him. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist. We should just be concerned with Jesus Christ. And he's given us ideas and signs when this is going to happen. Go to Luke, if you would, chapter 21. Remember, perilous times, godless world, powerless faith, questions that are all around us. What's going on? What's happening? Is this really, could this be it? Yeah, it could. Or it could just be a precursor. We ain't seen nothing yet. I used to say, the good news is it's only going to get worse. You know, these are good times that we're in right now. We've got freedoms that are unbelievable. There are people in other countries that they don't even understand the privileges that we have here. As bad as we see things still coming. So again, in that last days mentality or that thought and the things that should pierce our hearts and minds, you should read all of Luke 21, but I'm going to focus in on 25 in the essence of time to 28. The word of God says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. You know, and I'll just jump out. I don't know if anybody saw what went on in the sky the other night. But Pat, Nina, Maria, and Dawn pulled up in the driveway screaming. I was in the house yelling, get outside, turn the lights off, turn the lights off, turn. So it's like, get outside, but turn the lights off. I'm running around the house, turning all, what's going on? We don't know. There's something happening in the stars. I was just reading this verse, sitting on the couch, thinking, well, Lord, what do you want me to talk about tomorrow? Well, tell them about this one right here. And they come in the house running, and here's these, you know, what they thought they were stars or planets. We don't know. It was just weather balloons or possibly a mustard seed or a little gas or indigestion. There will be signs in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And just let's remember one thing. God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We can figure this stuff out only because he said it. So even if I don't remember what he said, we got a whole book of what he said. Let's read it. Let's make sure we know. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are, and I think that's an important word, which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Second coming. but prior to the rapture of the church. Dig into that. Verse 28, very important. And when these things what? What? When these things happen. No, it says when these things begin. Does all the translations have that? Begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Father God, help us to hear your word today, that we're to be looking up, Lord, that you're coming, for we don't know when. Father, we can naturally pass from this world. We can be taken out in the rapture. Father, we don't know, but we should be expecting your return and looking at it as a day of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So with those is why I started those scriptures. You can turn back, because I got a feeling I'm going to turn to something else in a minute anyhow. You can turn back to 2 Timothy, though. But I feel we should start to become painfully aware, maybe just starting today. I don't like to make, you know, covenants, let's call them, or we should do this, we should do that. But I think starting today, when we hear God's word, all of us should become painfully aware that we should be looking up. We should be looking up. You know, we say, well, but I have been. No, I haven't been looking up enough. I'm just speaking for me. I want to look up even more. When I see this that looks terrible and I get dejected and down a little bit, I want to start looking up. We should be looking up, not looking out and down at the things that are coming upon us. We should be looking up for the things that the Lord has on their way to each and every one of his children. And this is something that, turn to John 16. I'm not making it up, I hope. Jesus started this. He started telling us about this great day ahead, John 16, about a day that all of these things that are troubling us right now are going to pass. All the heartache and the pain is going to pass. All the financial and the medical and the family problems are going to pass. But for some reason, I see that those things are off somewhere, and we're focusing in the wrong direction. Jesus started what we're talking about today in verse 1. And again, you need to read in context, but look what he says. These things, what things? Well, that's in 15 and 14, and some of the things that we just read about stars and moons and sky and things becoming the past. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Anybody offended with what you're seeing on that television today? Anybody offended by what you're being told to do or not to do, or how many can come to church and where you can eat and when you can't eat and what you're going to be doing? Jesus said, wait a minute. Don't be offended. I had an old pastor tell me one day, be offended until you can't be offended anymore. But boy, all it takes is one little thing, doesn't it? And we're off on a parade if we get offended. Jesus started telling us these days are coming. Don't be offended. Don't be caught off guard, if you would, is what that word is in the original. Why? Turn back to John 14 while we're in there. This is where I get my, have I told you I'm going to heaven? Well, I believe John 3:16. And therefore, John 14, look at what it says in 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Stirred, agitated in the Greek is what that word is. Don't allow it. The only thing I think that's really curtailing me is Pat literally shuts off the TV for me now because I'm getting too agitated. I'm getting too opinionated. I'm barking like crazy at stuff I can't even do anything about. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Who? Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
The coming apostasy, it's going to be bad. But that should override everything. Everything. Paul is, what we're looking at today, this is just the introduction again. What Paul is looking at in 2 Timothy, it's just the introduction to everything that God has been saying. Jesus started it. Paul reiterated everything that Jesus spoke, that the Holy Spirit spoke about these last days of ours. Turn to Jude. This is we haven't been in these for a long time, so let's just look at them. These are good stuffs. So the train of thought again, before we lose it, you know, are these last days? What's going on? Are these perilous times? Yes, they are. But even more so because we've been told about them. And in Jude 1 through 3, it says, Jude, the servant. Remember we were talking last week in chapter 2 that the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle, apt to teach, right? Patient, instructing those that oppose themselves, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Peradventure that God would give them the acknowledging of the truth. Get themselves out of the captive shackles of the enemy. Jude, and he looked at himself the same way, a bondslave, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Man, would you like to hear that from somebody every day? I would. All I've been hearing is stuff that just brings us down. Remember what Jesus said through his Spirit, through Jude, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I think that's the time we're in right now. I feel that that is a mandate, if we can use that word, for each and every one of us who call ourselves believers today, that we would earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because I feel it's under attack. It's under attack. It's a godless world out there. It's a powerless Christianity that we find sitting in churches week after week, and the Holy Spirit, no different than he was when he said this, I feel is saying it to the church today, that we are to earnestly contend. That's a fight. I want, you know, dads, you got children, got a wife or whatever? What if some punk walked in the door, kicked it open, and said, come on, let's go, you're going with me. I think every man in here would man up, and that would be one heck of a time before somebody drug out of the house one of our loved ones. That's earnestly contending. You ever go and say anything about a mama's baby? Grandbaby or great grandbaby, you better look out. You better start ducking, at least if you say it to Pat. You know, mothers are mama lions. Don't mess with their baby. We know that in the physical. In the spiritual, the Spirit is saying, earnestly contend for this faith. It's going to be the last thing that's ripped out from under us if we don't get out of here right away. And don't think that's exaggeration. They're coming against that. You can't leave out some of this other stuff. I won't read all of Jude, but look at 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we remember them? Read it. Read it over. Dig into it. Don't watch so much of the news, let's say. Just get into God's word. What is God giving us? How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And, you know, that walking after ungodly, the reason for that is to cause division. And I see that more and more today within the churches. There's this division that's going on. These be they who separate themselves, verse 19, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, put your name in there. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what we're supposed to be doing. If we have the opportunity to speak to somebody to earnestly contend, that's great. If not, then we've got all day long to pray. Building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Remember again, looking. We should be looking up. We should be looking for this coming apostasy. We should not be caught off guard. Keep yourselves in that love. Looking for Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22, our responsibility now with what we're going to see in Timothy of the world that's going to be around us. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And think about, how's your compassion these days? Good question or not? Mine stinks. I'm your pastor. And I just feel some of this old Doug Gibney with everything I watch on that TV when I see people rioting, burning, looting, stealing. My compassion is out the window. These things never happened the way they're happening now. But the Lord is saying, Doug, but he said some. And I'm not trying to be funny there. On some, have compassion, making a difference. In others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That means approaching one another, helping one another, not giving up. It means getting in there, getting involved, get down, get dirty, earnestly contend for it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, unto him, I'm going to fall and I'm going to wear this because I have to. No shoes, no socks, no shirts, no man, but God is going to keep me from falling. Keep that in my mind as I approach people. God's got my days. He's got my number. He's got Tommy's tears in a bottle. He knows everything that's going on. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you, us, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. We're in a power-hungry era of our time right now. But all that power belongs to him. Don't let's for one second think that this is shaking him on his throne. He's got a plan. And my job is to just go along and march with him within that plan. So now I guess we can get to, if we have any time, 2 Timothy. And this is the reason why I felt like if Howard was here, he would have called it the coming apostasy. And the conditions that we're going to read here from 1 to 7 in the next few minutes are so uncomfortably close to the professing believers in the last days. It's scary. What? Unbelievers. But I see this infiltrating our world of faith in little degrees. And remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I'd like to have read Romans 1. It's striking how the similarities between Romans 1 and this right here, they go hand in hand. It tells us about what we're looking at so that we're not surprised or we don't question, could this be it? We had to know this, that last days, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers, and I want you to see how much self-love is in here. And I'm seeing that more and more within the Christian realm. Me first. What about me? But I'm doing. It's all me. And the Lord is saying, be careful. This is where self-love begins to go. Men will be lovers of their own self. coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I wanted to look at that, you know, self-love. That's why I said the me that is existing out there. What happened to we were to count ourselves a little lower than some others? Don't think of ourselves so highly as we do, but think of others before ourselves. I'm not saying that. God said that. That was his plan for us in these last days, so that people might be able to see his love instead of this fake, artificial Hollywood love that we think about. Blasphemers was in that verse there. And you know, we think that's only speaking blasphemies against the Lord, attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. That's the main. But blasphemers in the Greek means foul-mouthed and insulting. Does that seem to bring anything around you? I mean, Pat and I are shocked. By no means am I a verbal virgin, okay? You know me. I'm Irish, New York, cop. But that's not an excuse anymore because I'm not that person. And in these last days, when I said this, it gets so painfully close to the professing church, foul-mouthed and insulting. All I hear is insults on that TV every day. And the foul mouth, I mean, we got our politicians cussing on, you know, on TV. Oh, come on, you know, they're just saying little sissy curses. They don't really know how to put them together. The Lord says that cursings and blessings should not proceed from the same mouth. Are these signs of the last times? Yes, they are. Are they signs that it's creeping into the church? Foul-mouthed, insulting, the wordage we say to one another. We're right there. The door is just open a crack that we could slip right through that. Verse 3, without natural affection. There was a time in the Old Testament that people would bring their children to this statue, this molten image, Molech, that would be heated up till it glowed, and they would lay their children into the arms of this idol. That's bad. But today we're doing the same without natural affection. Mother to daughter, father to son, without natural affection. Somebody Google, just see what yesterday's abortion statistics were. We inject now with saline. We're not so uncivilized as to burn our children in a Molech statue. And it's going to get worse. The natural affection is going to get worse. The ways of getting rid of this population of children is going to increase. That day is happening. We're voting for it. It's okay. Well, you know why it's not okay in my mind? Because when Pat and I in 1979-80 got involved with Right to Life, I was instructed by a man at that time that, Doug, it's not about abortion. And I thought, well, what's it about then, Jack, remember? It's about euthanasia, Doug. Can't you see where it's going? If we can kill little babies without any problem and have no natural affection, then we can take somebody like I'm rapidly approaching that. You know, I'm 71, 81, 91. Oh man, once you get there, you're not a productive member of society any longer. My gosh, you're sitting in the corner, you're drooling, you can't hear, you can't walk. Let's just give them a little injection and they won't be such a drain on our society. Do we understand what's at cost here when we read something as simple as this and think, well, we could look out the window and, you know, maybe it's coming? Without natural affection. Fierce. Boy, there's some fierce people out there too, aren't there? You've been watching some of those riots? Is that natural? That's even without natural affection. My gosh, you ought to be concerned about somebody. gave their whole life to get that little mom and pop shop, but we can blow the windows out of it, loot it, burn it, shoot, throw things at a guy who's just trying to protect. Despises of those that are good. You know the word there. There's going to come a time when they call evil good and good evil. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Well, I know God had a purpose, but leading away a lot of silly men too, who aren't standing up. A lot of silly men who are laden with sin and looking for a way out other than Jesus Christ. And he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is where we are today. That was always God's purpose for every one of us. If you look at 7 with me, that's why he instructed us in 24 to 26 to get out there and start to witness. That scares us to death, doesn't it? I'm not saying you got to go knock on your neighbor's door. When you have opportunity, use that opportunity. If we don't have that opportunity, what did we just read? Praying. Didn't we? Praying always for everything. See, this has been God's plan because he knew that these last days were going to happen either 2020, 2021, 2020. He knows exactly when. And he was saying, what I want you and me to do is get out there and help pull those people from the fire. Help me pull them. You know, I've said we're lips for the light. I was thinking the other day, he's the light, but we're just the bulb. You know, so screw yourself in. You're no good on the shelf. Just pray for somebody. Start praying. Get it in there. Let me turn back to, where is that one? Chapter 2. We were in there just recently. Nope, that wasn't it. Oh, maybe it was 1st. No, I don't know it yet, so let me think. No. There it is. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. What I was going on to end this is that is our form and function in this time that we live in, is to get the word of the Lord out to individuals in our family, in our households, in our workplaces, in our town that we live in. I exhort you in chapter 2, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for those we love. No, it says all men. And I don't like that any more than some of you do. But the Lord is telling me as his child, as his servant, that's what you need to do. For kings and for all that are in authority. That's an eminent place or authority over us. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who, and here it is, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So why are we given this big list of people that we can point fingers at and say, see, there they are out there, that's them. I think the Lord put them in there so that, again, we wouldn't be caught off guard, but he gave it to us that we might start praying more in these times. It's the one thing we can do. It's either that or go to, what can you and I do right now to change this whole scenario? I don't know, you know? I watched the bar owner in Staten Island, our old stomping grounds, I watched him go to jail for standing up for what people burned and looted and closed off a whole section of Portland, Oregon. This is an autonomous zone. You got to pay money to come in here. Nothing was done. But this poor guy trying to feed his family gets thrown off to jail. Well, that's one thing I can do. I can go to jail and witness in there. But the question is, what are the rest of us going to do in this last days? And it's so simple. Just pray. And if we have opportunity, give it out, whatever God put in. Let's start looking up. Get our hands that are hanging down. The old Eeyore, remember, oh, poor me. Let's start looking up. Christ is coming. He's coming for you. Amen. Coming to a town near you, maybe. Who knows? That's all I've got. And we'll see what happens next week. That was no way to...